Our first reading this morning is from Acts 9, verses 1 through 22. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. The congregation reads the part of Jesus in bold. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, The sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. From that second stanza we just sang, "There is no more guilt to carry. It was finished upon that cross." As we look throughout our whole service today, all of our readings, all of the liturgy so far and throughout, we'll continue to see this same theme. All of our sins, all of those things that we've done poorly or failed to do, are finished and put away by what Jesus did on that cross. You are fully forgiven for all of your sin. In this season of Easter, we've already gone through and had several weeks of all this nice bright white linen, and we've forgotten how dark it was before, perhaps even, a long season of Lent. That whole dark season reminding us of our sinfulness was to prepare us to fully, truly celebrate Easter. It's good for us to remember where we were and where all of the messages pointed us to, so that we know just how great it is to know that we are fully forgiven by our Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross and who rose again. And that's why I had you say a total of 7 times on Easter, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We're still in the Easter season. I keep getting to bludgeon you with this. It's great. I'm very thankful, of course, that we say it with great joy and excitement that our Savior is risen. He did pay for our sins, and he's defeated death itself. All of sin and all of its consequence has been defeated for you. You do not need to worry. In our readings today, we get two specific men, two men who were used for pretty big things in God's church in the early years. We've got Peter and Paul, both of whom got a chance to see just how much they were forgiven, both of whom had done something awful and terrible and are told that, indeed, you are going to be used for a purpose. You, my child, my chosen one, the one who I love, you are forgiven, and I will use you to further this glory that I have shared with the whole world. In Acts, our first reading for us today, we have Saul, before he gets to be called Paul, and he's on a road to a town, how do you pronounce this? Damascus. You've heard this before, I think, possibly. Look at that. We showed up in the Bible. All right. Of course, it's not this Damascus. It would have been a very, very far walk and far too early for it to have been called Damascus. But Saul is on his way to Damascus. He's there to do what he's been doing already. We hear from Ananias, as God will tell him, all right, there's this guy coming. Saul, you're going to pray over him. What? Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Are you sure, God? You want me to go and pray for this guy? Let him know that I am a Christian? Don't you know how evil he is? All the awful things he's done, he's even here to keep doing more evil. Are you sure you want me to go and pray for him? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Of course, Jesus didn't want Saul to become a Christian just to punish him and make him suffer, of course, no. He did want Saul to become a Christian because Saul would come to know just how much evil he had done. He thought before he was doing the right thing. He thought by listening to the chief priests and by rounding up all the Christians, leading them to their deaths, he thought he was doing the right stuff. But when the truth was revealed to him, when he would come to know that Jesus truly is the Lord of all, that he is the Son of God, as Saul would soon proclaim, he would know all of what he had done before was indeed evil. And yet, Christ saw fit to forgive him and to use him, in fact, for his mission, to share his love with other people, so that you and I and many other people, thousands, millions of other people throughout this time since Saul, could hear the truth. No matter how evil you may think you are, no matter how much you may have sinned, God still can and will and has forgiven you. His love for you and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was more than enough to forgive all of your sins and to give you life in his name. Just as he is risen, you too will rise from the dead. Do not doubt in that. Have a sure and certain hope and trust. Jesus' death and resurrection are for you. Now we get to see the same type of scenario with Paul. Sorry, with Peter as with Paul. For Peter, as we heard before in our young time lesson, thank you. He's living in this time where he's now known that Jesus who died has risen from the dead. In fact, we're told today that he got to see him this third time. That means he saw Jesus twice before. Remember when he appeared to the disciples on Easter morning, or Easter afternoon probably. And then subsequently a week later when Thomas was there too. And we kind of harp on Thomas on that second Sunday after, the Sunday after Easter. This week, though, we have Peter, who this third Sunday now that Jesus is alive, Peter, who has seen him a couple of times and maybe was there to talk to him, but kind of off to the side, perhaps, you might imagine. We know that Peter is dealing with that guilt of knowing that he had denied Jesus three times. And as was laid out for us already, again, in the Young Time lesson, you should listen to those. I'm learning from them. It'll be great. Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Now you might think, well, he's really putting the screws to Peter here. Are you sure? I mean, you denied me three times. Do you love me? One, okay, check. Two, all right. Three, okay, we've got it covered. Now I know you truly love me. He's not doing it to punish Peter. He's doing it to support him. He's doing it to help him. Peter, with great sorrow, says the third time, "Of course, you know everything, Lord. You know that I love you. You know everything. You know that I denied you those three times." Jesus is showing him without saying it, right? "I'm going to ask you three times because three times you denied me." Jesus takes Peter aside and he doesn't sit him down. "So, Peter, while I was there on trial and you were outside just kind of watching to see how things went, you could have come in there and, you know, like stood up for me, but you didn't." He's not laying it on Peter that way. He's showing Peter, "I know that you denied me three times. And I'm going to ask you three times, do you love me?" And he accepts it from there. He doesn't say, "Okay, well, don't do it again now." But he wants Peter to understand, "I know you love me, and I fully forgive you." In fact, afterwards, he says something that might sound kind of odd to us. He says, "Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and will carry you to where you do not want to go." I am very thankful that John puts in brackets there for us. "This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God." That is, what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. Jesus tells him, "Not only do I forgive you," but he gives him a bit of support and strength here. "I know that you will be faithful even to death on a cross the way that I was too, with your arms stretched out. Follow me." Peter is fully forgiven by Jesus, saying, "I know you love me. Follow me." In an invitation, full forgiveness, encouragement to follow him, knowing and trusting that, as Jesus has said, "Don't worry, don't doubt. I know you'll be obedient even to death on a cross." And so in Peter and Paul, both, of course Saul in our readings, we see these two men who both felt awful, knew that they had done wrong. In Peter's case, we even see it in the story, right? Jesus is there, and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, says, "Hey, it's the Lord." Peter's like, "Oh," jumps into the water and swims his way there. You know, maybe it's because he just really wanted to get there fast and wants to leave the fish behind. Maybe it's because, like, well, I'm going to get there as fast as I can, but I don't need Jesus looking at me. Or at least me looking at him. And then they're at the banks, and Jesus says, "Oh, could you grab some fish?" And Peter's the first one, "Oh, I'll get the fish." Once it spent a little less time right next to Jesus, we could see that it was working on him. We know what doubt can feel like, what it can feel like to us when we're unsure. Can God love me? Can God forgive me? I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've heard pastors say it before to the whole church, but to me personally, I don't know. Pastor doesn't know all the bad things I've done. People around me may not know all the bad things I've done. God knows, though. God knows how evil and wicked I am. God knows all of my sin and my failings. Could he really love me anyway? Could he really forgive me? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Yes, he can forgive you. Yes, he does love you. You don't need to lay out all your sins before me for me to tell you, he forgives you, he forgives you, he forgives you. Do you love him? Yes, okay. We're not going to go through this. It would take forever. But know that God, who does know everything, sees those things that we've done that maybe we hope God would just forget about. He doesn't forget about them. He knows all of your faults. He knows all of your sins, and yet he loves you anyway. He loves you greatly. He has called you his child, and there is nothing that you can do that will keep him from welcoming you into his home. Through Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, the one who died and who rose, you have assurance of faith. Trust fully. Your God has fully forgiven all of your sins. You do hear it from the pastor who stands there and announces the forgiveness of sins. He says, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when I say that, I say it's not because of me. It's not like I am the one who's able to forgive all sin in the world. I'm there just speaking as Christ would speak to you. When you hear any pastor in his worship service tell this to you, it's so that you would hear it as if Christ is saying it to you himself. You are forgiven. In the name of the God who has made you his child in baptism. It's no coincidence that we use those same words that are spoken over you in baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's no coincidence that we start each of our services that way. In the name of the God who welcomes you to that service, where he will serve you. Know that the God, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loves you and has taken all of your sin away. So that we can respond in the same faith and the same joy that Peter and Saul do. So we too can, with joyous voices, pronounce, he is the Son of God. We can say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. That's the last time for this sermon, I promise. It's okay. God does have a plan for you for this life that you lead. Similar to Paul and to Saul, he will continue to use you, as imperfect as all of us are, as his child who he loves, who he's fully forgiven, who he will see faithfully to the end of your life on earth, until he would call you in heaven with him. This truth is yours because of the promise that Jesus has given you. In his name, amen. And may God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
One last time. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia.